We are in Hebrew. You know, the reason we are in Hebrew is because we just finished like a whole year worth of Old Testament preaching. And we felt that the bridge between the Old and the New Testament is Hebrew. Because Hebrew brought a lot of Old Testament traditions into Jesus Christ and compare it with Jesus Christ. So we're in Hebrew chapter 3. Before I start, I want to talk to you about health. I mean, you look all very healthy. It doesn't look like you guys have heart disease. Heart disease. You know, how do you get a heart disease? Like, heart attack. Years of junk food, lack of exercise, drinking too much soda and alcohol, right? And worry too much, a lot of stress, anxieties. These are all contributing factors towards a heart disease, right? Most of the time, we don't go from a healthy heart, healthy lifestyle, healthy diet, to heart attack. Unless you have genetic issues with your heart. Right? Normally, it doesn't happen that way. It's also all this accumulation of bad habits. Then you have heart disease. And in today's scripture, the writer of Hebrew warned us about the risk of spiritual heart attack. He called it the hardening of heart. Hardening of arteries. Hardening of your heart. This hardening is your attitude towards God. Just as the physical hardening of artery has its devastating consequences, so has the hardening of heart towards God. And Hebrew writer was warning us the consequences, this kind of spiritual heart attack, is that you will be excluded from his rest and his presence. You know, so Hebrew writer is like the dietitian of today, who warned us about a bad diet and prescribed for us a healthy diet so we will not die of heart attack, spiritual heart attack. So let's us read it. Pay particular attention to his the word hardening of your heart. Chapter 3 of Hebrew, verse 1 to all the way to verse 19. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confessed. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as Son of God over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Verse 7. So, as the Holy Spirit said, today, if ye hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert, where your father tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I say their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who are they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not for those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word, and Lord, only you can take your words and nourish your body, the body of Christ. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you use your words through my mouth to nourish your people. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so we've been dealing with angels. Now, the writer of Hebrew already proved that Jesus is greater than angels. Now he's coming to another great Jewish man, Moses. Moses is highly esteemed and respected because he's the lawgiver. He's the one that God spoke to face to face, and he's the one that God gave him the law to bring it to the people of Israel, and upon which that the nation is built by these laws, religious law, civil law, dietary law. So Moses is highly esteemed. But here I want for us to see that the hardening of hearts, like I said, is progressive, right? It's progressive. You don't harden overnight. So the hardening of heart here, I would say, because he simply called, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest whom we confess. In other words, that when you don't focus, when you don't put Jesus in your thoughts, that's a prelude, like pre-diabetic, to hardening of hearts. When something else, you can say anything, substitute your thought on Jesus Christ. So this is the Hebrew writer called out the Jewish Christians, that they have not had the Jesus in their thought. They have Moses in their thought. They have Moses, pay too much attention to Moses and not enough on Jesus. He argued is that Moses is a servant in God's house, and Jesus was a son over God's house. You see this in verse 5 and verse 6. In God's house. What does that mean? Moses was faithful, right? God builds the house. Moses is in there serving the Lord. He is in there. He teached the congregation. He teached the Israelites about the law. But in the house means that he is one among them. He's one among them. And he is also subject to the law. He is not above the law. So that's the significance where the Hebrew writer says, this is Moses. He's like us. He's like us. He is in God's house. He's among us. He's subject to the law. But then he says, Jesus, the Son of God, in verse 5b, it says, but Jesus Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Now, over means what? That he is not part of the law. He's not subject to the law. Even though he says, I came to fulfill the law. Everything the law said about is about me. Everything the law and the prophets said is about me. And I'm here to fulfill whatever it was said about me. So that was Jesus in the house of God. In the house of God. He's above them, over them. And so the writer says, keep your thought on Jesus and not on Moses. You know, over time, because Moses is so prominent, is that Moses almost become like an idol for these Jewish people, even among the Jewish Christians. They are more concerned about what Moses taught than what Jesus said, what the apostles said. So this is something that the Hebrew writer says, you guys need to change your focus, change your thought from Moses to Jesus. And that will help not to harden your heart. So we're not Jewish. We're not Jewish Christians. So how do you fix your eyes, or fix your thoughts on Jesus today? I don't know. I mean, if I take a survey, what do you think most? I'm almost afraid to ask. What do you think about most of the time? You know? So you guys all know is that your thought is not always completely on Jesus Christ. So I don't have need to identify them for you. You can identify them yourself. And this, over time, this whatever is in your thought, over time become an idol. Just like for the Jewish Christians, that Moses' law, and they're reminded every day about obedience to the law. Over time, it becomes an idol. And the Hebrew writer wants to kill the idol worship of Moses over Jesus. And God was angry with idol worships. God was angry over idol worship. And God actually disciplined them for idol worship because they reject the living God and worship a man-made God. So, first thing, keep your thought on Jesus Christ. Keep your thought on Jesus. That perhaps will help alleviate the hardening of hearts. The second thing about the risk, the bad diet for you to have a hardening of your heart is verse 7 to 11 about testing God. About testing God. You know, when God is not much in your thought, and you just sort of kind of like the survey says, I believe Jesus, And often Jesus becomes like an idol that you pray to him and to see if he will answer your prayers, will help you out. And if he doesn't, what happened then? Oh, this God is not trustworthy. He doesn't care for me. And this is what happened with the Jews in the desert. Because the writer says they test God in the desert. How did they test God? How did they test God? Okay, let me show you in Exodus 17. You know, this is soon after the event of Exodus. They soon after God had done the 10 plagues and took Israel out of Egypt. And then now they're in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness. This is in 17, Exodus 17. And they complained. They didn't have any meat to eat, right? I mean, you guys know that. They complained to God. Says, God, you know, in Egypt, I have all this good food to eat. Now I'm in the wilderness. I got nothing. Never mind about God took them from slavery and give them freedom. No, that's not important. Important thing is that I have meat to eat. I have food. I have the food I like to eat there. They say they had Chinese translated into jiu cai. You know, it's like some kind of chai. And in verse 7, Exodus 17, 3. And then God gave them what? God gave them quail, right? You don't have meat? Okay, I give you quail. And you don't have food? I give you manna. The God had done all this. And then they were in the desert. Of course, water is in short supply. And people were thirsty for water there. And they grumble against Moses. They say, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? So, there is the testing of God. God already showed them all the goodness. God already provided for them everything they needed to sustain life. And now, they say, God, why did you take us here? You want us to die? Well, if God wants you to die, you could have died a long time ago. And continue to read. Verse 4, Exodus 17. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. They're going to kill Moses because they are angry with him. The Lord answered Moses, walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. And go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elder of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah. Because the Israelites quarrel and because they test the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? If the Lord is among us or not. That is the testing of God. God already showed them that he is with them. God already showed them he's with them. But they continually asking God to prove himself. To prove himself. Show me once more. Show me more. Show me more. That's testing God. And that, if you do that often, you are waiting for a heart attack. Because this kind of testing of God lead to unbelief. Drift into unbelief very quickly. And unbelief will lead you into idol worship. Because you say, okay, let me try something else. Maybe this will work. Maybe this God will work. And when you start doing idol worship, which God specifically forbidden, then you are living in disobedience. Then you are living in disobedience. And then heart attack. God is angry with this generation of Israel. I'm speaking, you know, as the Jews in the wilderness, as the story play out, as the story play out, this is what happened. The heart attack will come. Will come. What put them in the hospital at the real end through the Jewish history is that they become so, the idol worship becomes so rampant, God has to take them to a country that is full of idols. You want to worship idols? Okay, here it is. You go to a country, so God let Babylonian to come to take them to a country. It's nothing but idols everywhere. You want them? You got them. Heart attack. 70 years in captivities. So, do not test God. First of all, keep your thoughts on Jesus Christ. Right? Keep your thoughts on Jesus Christ. Second of all, don't test him. Don't test him continually, even after he had revealed himself to you. Testing God in this case is asking God to prove himself more and more. And then verse 12 to verse 19 is disobedient. That leads to disobedient. The story of disobedient, I mean, it's happened a lot. The story is all over in the Old Testament. But this particular one I want to reference is in number 14. This is about when they are about ready to go into the Promised Land. Just a few months after Exodus. Just a few months. If you are Bible students, you know how long does it take them to get to the Promised Land? From the time they left Egypt to when they crossed the Jordan River, you know how long? The real distance to take that many people is just a few months. The traveling time. But it took Israel 40 years to get there. 40 years, and there's a reason why it's 40 years. And this is the story about that. This is the story about that. This shows the disobedience of Israel, and then shows God's anger with them, and then the heart attack. You know, the heart attack, the hardening of heart leads to this point. Okay, and the context of number 14 is that they are about ready to possess the land, to go into the Promised Land. So Moses, as a wise leader, sent out 12 spies, one from each tribe. And they went into the Promised Land, they look at it, they say, it's a great place. It's a great place God has given us. But, people there are bigger, stronger, their city are fortified. We cannot defeat them. 10 of the spies came back with that report. It's good, but we can't do it ourselves. We cannot do it. They're too strong for us. But only two, Caleb and Joshua, says, let's go. Let's take it. Because God promised us. Okay, so that's the backdrop. And then chapter 14 about the rebellion of these people. And so That night, all the people of the community raised their voice and wept aloud because they got this report that the people are too strong. They are homeless. They are wandering in the desert. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why do you tempt us, give us a flavor, and then now you can't deliver? Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" Now, these are the Jews, okay? These are the Jews. And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who was among those who had explored the land, torn their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than ever." Moses says to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people, and that you, O Lord, have been seen face to face, that your clouds stay over them, and that you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. If you put these people to death all at one time, the nation who have heard this report about you will say, 'The Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised an oath.' So he slaughtered them in the desert. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abound in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children of the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they have left Egypt until now." The Lord replied, "I have forgiven them, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to those forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it." That is the punishment. That is the heart attack. And the Lord says, "You will be in the wilderness. All of you who came out of Egypt as a 20-year-old, you will not see the promised land. You will all die in the desert because you tested me, you don't believe me, you show contempt for what I say. That's heart attack because they're disbelieving. But it's built up over months. Disobedience has a price. That price is the wrath of God. So these people who saw all these miracles, who enjoyed the provisions of the Lord in the wilderness, all these people die. 40 years wander around in the desert and die in the desert because they don't believe and because they disobey the God. As I study chapter 3, it seems to me there is a pattern of hardening of hearts. Spiritual heart disease does not occur overnight, like I said. It's a years of spiritual junk food. Like, God has a storehouse of blessing for you. All you need to is claim them from God. All you have to do is claim them. Name them and claim them. That's what some churches teaches. And lack of spiritual discipline. We don't talk too much about, you know, pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus daily. We don't talk about that. Lack of spiritual discipline. But I think there's three things I see the pattern. Like Hebrew writer already kind of alluded to. First, we don't fix our thoughts on Jesus. Other things you can fill in the blank, whatever, take over your hearts and mind. This leads to number two. We'll begin to lose faith in Lord Jesus. We trust other things, you can fill in the blank again, rather than Jesus. This lack of faith in the Lord leads us to challenge the Lord to prove himself over and over again that he is God, that he is with us. And the third thing, that naturally leads to disobedience. Once we disobey God, we refuse his lordship over our lives. We become like the Israelites in the wilderness. We test God, we invite other gods into our lives, we stop seeing God's activities in and around us, we eventually abandon and rejected him. We all know what happened after a heart attack. You know, I think the survival rate is much higher now because of all the medicine. We will recover, but some would still die. Same with spiritual heart attacks. Some will recover, you know, after God punished us, after God warned us through whatever physical illness or whatever, and then we return to God. Then we still walk with the Lord. We still walk with the Lord. So we survive. We can survive. But then there's some will die with rejecting Jesus. Some will die to the end. To the end. But, you know, I've been preaching negative thoughts. I catch myself and says, man, there's too much negativities in my message. But, you know, here in this Hebrews 3, it offers you a hope. Hope. You know that hope comes in, I got to read this. That hope comes in the word today. Today. It said it twice. Verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In other words, today is the day. And then in verse 13 again. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. And then verse 15, as has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The Hebrew writer, the dietitian, offered us a healthy diet. And this says, you start today. You start today. Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. Today, you hear God speaking to you. That's when you need to move. When the Spirit visits you, if you hear his voice, you need to act. If you hear the Spirit tell you to repent, today is the day for you to repent. Once, as soon as you hear that, you need to repent. Whatever sins the Spirit revealed to you. If you hear the Spirit tells you to forgive someone or to ask for forgiveness, you have to do it immediately, today, not tomorrow. Oh, I have time tomorrow. I do that. No, today. If the Spirit tells you to pray for something, to pray for someone, you do it immediately as soon as you hear the spirits tell you to do that. Don't say, oh, I still got time. I'll do it tonight. Or I do it tomorrow. No. Hebrew writer says, as long as it's today. God give us only today. Think about it. You don't have any assurance about tomorrow, whether you still be here or not. You live day by day by day. So the Hebrew writer says, okay, let's reverse this hardening of hearts. Let's start it with today. Today. Don't postpone it. Don't procrastinate it. You respond to the Spirit ASAP. Do not delay your repentance. Don't let today slip away. There is no tomorrow for us. There's no tomorrow for us. All we have is today. This lesson comes to me, you know, years ago when I was, I don't know if we are still pastor, but we were a member of church. We were sharing gospel with this woman. And I believe this woman, the Spirit touched her. I believe that she's interested. And we invite her to pray the prayer to receive Jesus. And she says, she'll do that. But she needs to go to Washington, D.C. to do some visa thing. You know, she needs to go to D.C. She said, when I come back, I will pray the prayer to receive Jesus. And she went to D.C. On the way back, she died. She fell asleep at the wheels, hit a tree. Die at the scene. Now, I don't know if she's in heaven or not, but she postponed the opportunity to receive Jesus. It just accentuated for me how important is today. How important it is today. To reverse your hardening of heart, he says, do not, if you hear Spirit's voice today, do not harden your heart. Do not say, okay, I got tomorrow. Do not say to the Spirit, I have time. You do it immediately. And that's the story of Hebrews 3. That's the story of Hebrews 3. And we don't want to make God angry with us. And we want to be obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us. Lord, you are not a silent God, that mysterious God, that you don't want us to know who you are or what's your will. You're always speaking, because the psalmist says even the universe, the, all the creative nature speak to us. And Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you open our eyes and that our minds and our hearts to receive those messages. And we pray also you give us a willingness to obey. We thank you. We ask these things because only your Spirit can motivate and convict us. In Jesus' name, amen.